Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7, and we'll begin at verse 1. 2 Kings 7, 1, the Bible says, "Then Elisha said, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. And then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. And wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life." Notice verse 12 then. "And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry, therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, When they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. And one of his servants answered and said, Let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed, and let us send and see. They took therefore two chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, Go and see. And notice verse 15, they went after them unto Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king." I want to talk to you tonight about the title of the message, They Left It All Behind. And Father, I thank you so much for the music tonight. I thank you for just a good spirit all day today and a great week, really. I pray that you'll bless now the preaching of thy word as we begin another week, and we look forward to what you have for us this week. And I pray that again we will be reminded there are things so much more important than money, so much more important than a position or fame. Lord, there are things that are so much more important than what the world holds as being important. And help us to see it tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I couldn't help but think as Mrs. Horton was speaking last Sunday morning, boy, wasn't that a blessing. I'll tell you, it was such a blessing to hear her story of being in a POW camp. And I couldn't help but thinking about what it would be like to all of a sudden be told, take everything that you can put in a box about this big. And I want you to gather all that because you're going to now leave and you have to leave everything else behind. All you have in a little box. Everything that you can have whatever you can keep in this little box. That's it. You have to leave everything else behind. I want you to understand that when the rapture takes place, and I don't know if you ever think about the rapture. I think about it a lot, and I think about just what it's going to be like. I've told you about the rapture picture that I have from the 70s. And how that was such a popular thing back then. This rapture picture, it shows the rapture taking place and cars crashing and planes falling out of the sky and all that. But have you ever thought about it on a personal level, just all of a sudden you're gone. You know, all of a sudden you're out of here. I know I kid around about when we had the roof leak and how, the rapture is going to take place and the Antichrist would get a leaky roof and he can have it and all that. But you ever think, we're leaving everything behind. I mean, you understand that you have a little safe in your house and everything that's in it, it isn't going with you in the rapture. Maybe you have a deposit box in the bank and it has a special key and you get to go in there and you have so much wealth, armed guards are watching you as you go in and you go into your little safe deposit box there and you get that out and you open it up and every now and then, maybe every other month, you look at what's in there, all those things. diamonds and jewels and pearls. And of course, I always wonder if it's all in that little box. Why do you even have it in the first place? But anyway, when the rapture takes place, the key doesn't even go with you. You have a storage unit, and it has precious items, right? Antiques, all these things. Understand? And you have a big old lock on that storage unit. You know, nobody can get in that. But when the rapture takes place, it's just all left behind. Everything that we have, it's left behind. Precious things, titles to vehicles. Oh, vehicles, houses, property, everything is left behind. You've heard me say before, and others I'm sure have said this, you've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul because it doesn't happen. I'll never forget the first time I saw this, and I'm going to say it was maybe 10 to 15 years ago, and we were at a funeral home and going to the visitation. I don't remember if I did the funeral or not because I don't remember knowing the guy, because I remember the guy had a handlebar mustache, but I don't remember ever doing a funeral for somebody with a handlebar mustache. But we came up to the casket and we looked in, and I saw something I had never seen before. It was the first time. I have seen it a couple of times since, but there was a drawer. How many of you have ever seen that in a casket before? There was the casket where it came. There was a little drawer in there, and you pulled that drawer out, and they had the drawer pulled out, and there were items inside that drawer. And I kind of looked at the items. I don't remember what they were today because it just caught my attention that they really thought he was going to be able to take these things with him that were in this drawer. The truth of the matter is, we don't take it with us when we die. We don't take it with us. And here in our text, God's people in Samaria, because of sin, their lives are a mess. And I do need to mention every chance I get that because of sin, our lives are a mess. I mean, if there's a mess in your life, trace it back and you're going to find sin somewhere. Not always your sin, but some sin causes a mess in our lives. Well, here in Samaria, the people are surrounded by the Syrian army, and because of being surrounded, they can't get to their farms, they can't get to the food, they are starving. Literally, the famine is so great that they're eating donkey heads and dove's dung. Yeah, what a meal, huh? Donkey heads and dove's dung. And in fact, right before this is the story of them taking a woman's little baby and boiling that baby just because they were starving, just because of sin. If you're starving tonight spiritually, it's probably because of sin. And so the famine was in the city, and it was so bad, the people were going to eat anything they possibly could eat. Well, these four lepers, just part of the story, these four lepers, they've decided, you know, if we go in the city, we'll die of starvation. If we go to the enemy out there, they may kill us, but we're going to die anyway, so we might as well go to the enemy. And here's where the story becomes very interesting. Because inside the city, the people are starving, and they're eating donkey heads and dove's dung. But just a short distance away, on the other side of the wall, was the Syrians' camp, and they had vast wealth like you cannot believe. They had plenty of food, plenty of gold, plenty of silver, raiment. They had everything. And understand, though, soon all of that wealth would not matter to them at all. You understand, there was coming a time when all that they had, it wasn't going to matter. A time was coming in their lives where those things they had, the gold and the silver and all that food and all the raiment and silk and everything, it was coming up now where that wasn't going to matter, because verse 6 says that the Lord, back in chapter 7, verse 6, the Lord had made the host of the Syrians, these are the Syrians, as they're maybe laying in their sleeping bag with maybe their arm wrapped around a bag of gold. Maybe this arm is wrapped around a bag of silver. Obviously, wealth that they had accumulated through raiding cities and raiding other lands. And maybe down tucked into the bottom of the sleeping bag was some silk clothes. And I mean, all of this worth huge amounts of money. And each individual had all this wealth. And God, the Bible says, the Lord made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." And the Bible says they arose and fled in the twilight, and they left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and they fled for their life. And later on it says that all along the path where they fled, it was littered with all their stuff. It's an amazing story. Oh, boy, if I could have had that gold, you'd have been just like them. You'd have left it. You'd have been just like, oh, if I would have had all that silk, you'd have been just like them. Because for fear of something that was not there, the Lord made him hear that noise. It sounded like an army coming to get him. It sounded like the Israelites had hired a huge army and they didn't want to die. And they gathered everything they could. Their arms were full. In verse 15, it all became too heavy and they just let it go. Dropped it all along the way. Thus the title, they left it all behind. They left it all behind till eventually they had nothing. The Syrians had nothing left. And so I want to give you some points about that just to think about. Number one is what they had. What they had. According to verse 7, what they had. They had tents, because the Bible says they left their tents. So they had tents. They had shelter. They had, you know, everybody in this room has a place to live. As far as we know, nobody here is homeless. Now, there are homeless people here in Adrian. Every now and then I meet them, we talk to them, get a chance to witness to them, try to get them to come to church. But most of us here, we have a place to live. By the way, those that are homeless, usually they have some kind of a tent or something. They don't have a house, but they have a place to live. These people, they had tents, they had shelter, they had a place to live. The Bible says they had horses and asses. They had transportation. They had, like we would have cars or we would have trucks. These weren't just transportation. They were also beasts of burden that would help in their farming and all of that. They had those things. Verse 8, the Bible says that they had food and they had drink. They had plenty of that. The Bible says that when these lepers came there, they went into one tent, they ate and they drank. So obviously these lepers came in. There was already food prepared. I mean, there was plenty of food. There was plenty to drink. And so they had food and drink. Hey, isn't it wonderful that today we could say, I have a place to live in. I have transportation. I have work. Isn't it wonderful that you and I can say today, we have food, we have water, we have something to drink. But the Bible goes on and it says here that they had silver and gold and raiment. I mean, silver and gold. They had savings. Now, many of us may not have a savings account today, but a lot of folks do. A lot of people have enough. These people had silver. They had gold. Plenty of it. They had raiment. They had clothes. Perhaps they had the latest in fashion. I don't know, but they had that. Verse 15, they had all these kinds of garments, the Bible said, that they left behind. They had vessels, which would be containers, like you would have a kitchen full of pots and pans and dishes and all of that. And the Bible says it back in verse 15, it says that all the way was full of garments and vessels. All these things that they left behind, they tried to take with them, but they couldn't take them with them, but they had all these things. Everything, anything they could possibly want. You see, it's one thing to have. It's another thing to make these things the most important thing in life. Because we sit here tonight as people that could say, you know what? We have those things too. Most of us have those kinds of things. Most of us could say, you know, I have a place to live. I have a car. I have a job. I have clothing. I have food to eat. I have something to drink. I have these things. I have money in the bank. I have the ability to pay my bills. And most of us today would say, you know, praise the Lord, we have those kind of things. But sad to say that in America today, we have a lot of people that make those things the most important thing in life. I still remember my mom when I was very young, and we had what would many people would call a mansion kind of a house. It wasn't a two-story kind of mansion, but it was a huge one-story ranch-style house. Beautiful, with big old white pillars in the front. It was a beautiful house. We had a swimming pool in the backyard. And a lot of people would say, wow, you've got it so good. And I remember watching my mother sit in our living room, and she would have her country and western music playing on the record player. And I remember her sitting there with her whiskey and a tab drink that she drank every night. And I remember sitting there with tears streaming down her cheeks. And usually the songs were things like Four Walls. And I remember asking my mom, Mom, why do you do that? She said, because it's just four walls. That's all it is. It's just four walls. I said, what are you talking about? She said, I'd rather live in a pup tent and be happy than to have all this and be so miserable. Now, why was Mom so miserable? Because she was an unsaved woman married to an unsaved man with an unsaved family. Now, Mom eventually got saved, and I praise the Lord. But I don't know how many times I've gone back to that day and those times when I would see her sitting in the living room, tears streaming down her cheeks because she was so miserable. And I think, man, I mean, here's a fireplace in that room. Right on the other side is another fireplace in our huge family room with wooden floors. Right outside the sliding door was a grill, a brick grill that was beautiful and built just for that. To the left of that was our big swimming pool. Beautiful backyard and trees all to the side and a lot to the side. And out front was a beautiful porch and all that stuff that we had. And she was miserable. I challenge you tonight. Maybe you have the stuff, but you're kind of like that. You sit and you just cry because something is missing. Well, I'll tell you what's missing. When what you have is the things are the most important thing to you. Because I got news for you. You're going to lose all those things. Do you know there are people to this day that are miserable because they're afraid of losing all those things? And they've made themselves miserable. They're scared to death. I mean, honestly, they've got every kind of protection, bars on the windows, locks here, locks there, four or five locks at the door. Terrified. Somebody knocks on the door, they're scared to death because of the things. I'm not saying let's not appreciate our things. I'm not saying let's not praise the Lord. But understand, our things are just that. They're just things. Number one, what they had. Number two is such a simple point. What they lost. What'd they lose? It's an easy answer. One word will do it. What'd they lose? Everything. All. They lost it all. Everything. Look at Proverbs 23, verse 5. Proverbs 23, verse 5. I love the story. And as I was listening to Mrs. Horton speak in Sunday school, given her testimony, I just kept thinking about this scripture in 2 Kings. Proverbs 23 and verse 5. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Do you understand that you may be the wealthiest? I mean, there is someone here who is the wealthiest person in the church. I have no idea who that is. Don't care. Doesn't matter to me. But you may be the wealthiest person in church, but when you go to heaven, you have nothing. We don't have any wealth. But I have a big bank account. Look what I drive. I've got this nice car. But when we get to heaven, you don't have that. I heard about a guy one time that he asked to be buried in his car. But that's just a car going in the dirt. It's not going to heaven. What they had all of it. They had everything they needed, but what they lost was everything. But here's the key thing, number three, and that is this, what they didn't have. Here's what the Syrians didn't have. See, it's okay if God has blessed you with things, but possessions cannot replace what they didn't have. It's okay to have all the, I've admitted, we all have most of the things they had. We'd have to say today that we did not eat today donkey heads and dove's dung. We'd have to say today that we didn't look around and try to scrape up some dung off the road or off the grass. We'd have to say today, none of us had to do that today. We've got food. We have raiment. We have transportation. We have a roof over our heads. We have homes to live in. We have all these things. But the most important thing tonight is trying to understand what they didn't have. And you know, I kind of wonder sometimes as I watch Christians and I listen to what Christians have to say, and I kind of wonder if maybe there might be some similarities. Because the third thing, what they didn't have, it's okay if God's blessed you with things, but those things can't replace that which you really need and what they didn't have. Number one, they didn't have God. They didn't have God. I remind you that it was God who made them hear a sound that sounded like an army that was coming to get them. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, folks. That is kind of a scary thing when you think about it. I mean, it was God who made them hear this sound of an army. It was a fear they didn't need to have. I'm going to tell you, one of the things we've lost in our world, and please get this tonight, we've lost a fear of the Lord. I'm talking about among Christians. We do not ever think about what God could let us hear and what He keeps us from hearing. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about whatever they heard, they really thought it was coming to get them. I'm so glad when I lay my head on my pillow, I have a God that is watching over me. And He doesn't let me hear things like that where I think something's coming after me. What they didn't have God. Because what they heard that evening caused their treasure literally to become trash. Their treasure didn't matter anymore. They were so afraid. It's interesting, the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say money's the root of all evil. Money can be used for great things. Money can be used. We use money to run our buses to bring people to church to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We use money to have our fair ministry. We use money to buy quality gifts for Vacation Bible School. Not a lot of money, no. But we use money to support a ministry that's reaching out, trying to win people to Jesus Christ. But the love of money. Do you know that can be a Christian? Oh, you know, those Hollywood millionaires, they just love money. Oh, those athletes, they just love. Wait a minute. How about the pew sitter at Berean Baptist Church that loves money? It's the same root of all evil. If you and I love it. The love of money is the root. It's amazing how much sin takes place because of money. That's why Proverbs 23:17 says, "Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long." Look what they have. Look at all their stuff. Look at all that. Look at all. God says, no, you just be in the fear of the Lord. Because it was God. They didn't have God. They didn't have God. And God made them hear a sound that caused them to fear, and such a fear of that which was not. Such a fear that would cause them not even to care about all those things anymore. Whether you have money or you don't have money, you have to have God. You have to have God, because without God, you're lost. I remind you in Luke 16, the rich man, the Bible says about the rich man when he died, it doesn't say maybe, it says in hell, he lift up his eyes being in torment. In hell is where he was. I'm so afraid that so many people have traded God for money, wealth, things. Psalm 49, verse 6. Psalm 49 and verse 6. The Bible says, "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever." Trusting in wealth and boasting yourself in the multitude of your riches. You understand, the rich man was doing just that, and in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment. If the love of money is the root of all evil, wouldn't it be the root of all evil, not only for a lost person, but also for a Christian? And honestly, if you love money today, things, wealth, possessions, I promise you this, it is going to make your life absolutely miserable. Absolutely miserable. Because I got news for you. If you don't have God, now you may be saved, but you don't have God in your life, you can have all the wealth in the world and you will be just like my mother and just weep because you're absolutely miserable. I ask you today, maybe that's why you're miserable. Maybe that's why you're having such a hard time. They didn't have God. Secondly, they didn't have control. My money can buy. Well, their money couldn't buy anything that they needed. They didn't have control. You have to understand, in the early evening they had all, but by darkness they had nothing. You know why? Because they had no control. It's like Brenda and I, 38 years ago, October, we stood across from each other at Grace Baptist Church in Bluffton, Indiana, and we each said, "I do." And we had everything under control. I had this beautiful honeymoon planned. We went down to the Smoky Mountains. I reserved a motel. That's well before the internet. I don't even know how I did it. Don't remember how. I think I sent to Gatlinburg to the Chamber of Commerce, got a packet. I don't remember all that, but it was nice, wasn't it? We had a wonderful time, and we had everything going for us. We both had good jobs. I was at RCA, and we had, I mean, honestly, we were very young, but we thought, this is it. Boy, this is great. And on our way home, we stopped somewhere. This is before cell phones. We stopped somewhere and called my dad. Dad said, "By the way, son, I just thought I'd tell you, when you get home, you've been laid off." Laid off? Laid off? What do you mean laid off? Well, you don't have a job. What do you mean I don't have a job? I'm going to RCA. I'm going back to work. I'm going to make my big, I think at that time it might have been $6.50 an hour. Boy, that was big money. I'm going to work overtime. We're going to buy a house. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And he said, "No, son, you've been laid off." Understand something, folks. I don't care what you have. You don't have control. We may think we have control. How about just a few years ago when the economy tanked? I know people that would have said, before that happened, they would have said, we got it all figured out. We have our savings, we have our IRAs, we have everything taken care of. And isn't it amazing how an IRA can drop just like that when the economy goes down? I know people that wept because their house wasn't worth what it was a week before. And it dropped so fast, there was nothing anyone could do. Do you understand? We don't have control. How many young men gave their lives in World War II because they didn't have control? Vietnam came along, and an 18-year-old young man, he said, hey, I'm going to do great things. And then Vietnam, and they said, no, you're going to go into the military. And they went into a country they never planned on going to, and they died there. Control. Control. Naaman the leper. You know the story. Boy, what a soldier. A man of valor, the Bible says he was. But the Bible's very clear. It says, but he was a leper. Wait a minute, here's a guy. He's a man of valor. He's a captain. He's a big shot in the Syrian army. He's got everything going for him. People bow to this man. I mean, this guy's got it made. He's probably got cars in the garage. He's got a huge house. He has servants. He has all this going for him. The Bible says, but he was a leper. Somebody said, you need to go see the man of God. And I can see him reaching for his checkbook. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that ought to do it. Naaman, your money can't buy it for you. The man of God said, you have to go to the Jordan River. The nasty, muddy Jordan River. And he's bent out of shape immediately. What? What about the Amana and the Pharpar? Those were clean, nice rivers. No, you have to go to the Jordan River. Muddy, dirty. Yeah. Wait a minute, but I've got some... No, money isn't going to take care of it. You have to understand, they didn't have control. In Acts chapter 3, a lame man was begging. He was lame. He couldn't walk, and so he couldn't work, and so he had no money, and he was begging. And he was begging to Peter and John, and Peter and John looked at him and said this. They said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. You know, he thought, boy, if they just give me some silver and some gold. But they gave him something better. They gave him what God could give. You have to understand, we don't have control. When the doctor says, you have this disease, I'm amazed. As a pastor all these years, I've watched a lot of very strong people. When a doctor says cancer, they're not very strong anymore. I watch a lot of strong people. When a doctor says you have this disease, all of a sudden they're not as strong because they lose control. They didn't have control. There was nothing they could do. Oh, I got a bag of gold here. I got a sack of silver over here. I've got raiment here. I've got all these things, and yet I don't have God. I don't have control. And so the third thing, it just stands to reason, they didn't have peace. What do you mean? Do you see them running from nothing? I've watched a lot of people run. One of the most amazing things is watching people run from nothing. Imagined fear. Fear that somehow nobody else sees. It's like, what is your problem? Come on, you got a bag of gold, you got a bag of silver, you have raiment, you have a house, you have horses, you have the mules to do the work. I mean, here you've got it. What are you running? Ah! And they run. Do you know, just this past week, a very wealthy man, very popular man, very well-known actor committed suicide. Often because they're running from nothing. Or you say, well, he had a disease, but it didn't kill him. He killed him. Why would people run from nothing? Because they don't have peace. But that's why the Bible says God's peace passes understanding. I don't care what kind of book you want to write about peace, you can't possibly write enough about God's peace. It passes understanding because it's not in fame, it's not in fortune, it's not in fun. And for the world, they never have enough of those things, and therefore they have no peace. But God's peace is not found in a bottle. Not in a liquor bottle, not in a medicine bottle. It's not found in a pipe. It's not found in a shot glass. It's not found in some kind of powder. It's not found in a prescription. No, God's peace only comes from God. They didn't have peace. They didn't have God's peace. In my mind, I watch them. And I read, every time I read this passage, I see them with their arms with as much as they can carry. And they're running. And the noise gets louder and louder. And they can hear the horses. And they can hear the chariots. And it gets louder. And pretty soon they can't run fast enough. And they start dropping this and dropping that and dropping this. And they keep running. And I think of so many people running and running and running. And they just don't have peace. Tonight, do you have peace? Do you have peace? And then not only they didn't have God, didn't have control, didn't have peace, but they didn't have joy. They didn't have joy. I think of mom sitting in the living room, and back in those days, it was beautiful red carpet. Now, back in those days, that was a beautiful color of carpet. Now I think, ugh. In our living room, we had huge planters in the corners with glass windows looking out into our beautiful backyard. And in those planters, they had all kinds of different sort of plants that were growing there. And it was just such a beautiful room. And mom would sit. I'm telling you, it would have been the envy of people. So many people would have loved to lived in that house. And I remember mom sitting there and the tears streaming down her cheeks. Two cars in the garage, nice cars. Swimming pool in the backyard, beautiful yard. But mom didn't have joy. In Acts chapter 8, God was blessing so much. And I love the book of Acts because I watch God blessing and I see all the people getting saved and all the miracles taking place. And the Bible says in verse 8 of Acts chapter 8, there was great joy in that city. But a fellow named Simon was watching that, and he saw the people, and he saw the miracles, and he saw all of that. And Simon was watching all this, and he wasn't very learned in the scripture, though I believe somewhere along the line he had gotten saved. But he's watching all that, and he sees all this joy, and Simon thought, hey, I want to buy that. Can I buy that? Hey, how much would it cost to have that? And in verse 20, Peter said, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Oh, people will go to church, they'll throw money in the plate, hoping to get some joy. Tim's joyful, it'll give him joy. But I got news for you. It cannot buy joy. Peter made it very clear to Simon. And they didn't have God, they didn't have control, they didn't have peace, they didn't have joy. And then the last thing, they didn't have a future. They had no future. the day before, any one of them would have been voted most likely to succeed. They would have been on the Forbes list. You know, these guys, they, you know, hey, here's my bag of gold, my bag of silver, all my raiment, my land, my horses, my, you know, I've got it made. I've had a great, great campaign here. We've raided all these places. I've got all this stuff. And yet, they didn't have a future. Please listen, I'm just about done. God's not impressed with what we have. God will never be impressed with what we have. You know, you get your wallet out and say, hey, God, look what I have, God. I don't even have one of those secret compartments Brother Rao was talking about. Look what I have, God. He's not impressed. Open your checkbook up, show it to him. Get that savings statement out, show it to him. Go out to your garage and show him your cars. Hey, God, look what I've got. He's not impressed. God is, you know why God's not impressed with what we have? Because all he has to do is make you hear a sound at night. All he has to do is, he has to just let you hear what's really going on around you. You'd be scared to death. You'd take off running like the Syrians did if God just let us hear everything. You know what we'd do? I think about the fella that, you know, he was telling me when Y2K was about to take place, and it would have been toward the end of 1999. And this guy said, Pastor, he said, we've got to do something. I said, what do you mean? He said, we got to go. I said, we got to go where? We got to leave it all behind. I said, what do you mean we got to leave? We got to metal plate one of our buses and several of our buses and take as much as we can. And we got to go north. I said, go north. What do you mean? He said, we got to get out of here. I said, why? They're coming. I said, who? He said, Y2K. I said, what are you talking about? He said, they're coming after us. We got to run. That guy wanted people to just leave it all and run because he heard something that wasn't there. Don't hold your bag of gold too tight. Don't hold your bag of silver too tight. Because I got news for you. God's not impressed with what we have. God wants to know what we're going to do. Moses couldn't even talk right. Stuttered, scared to death. You have to understand, Moses had nothing to offer. God's looking around. I need a leader. Gabriel said, well, here's somebody over here. God said, no, I'm pretty impressed with that. Father, that guy flunked speech. God said, I like him. Michael said, no, you don't understand. That guy can't even give a speech. He can't speak. You want him to lead? God said, I like him. Moses, what do you have? He said, I have a rod. That's my man. Actually, he probably said, I have a rod. God said, don't you like him? Gabriel said, oh, brother. Michael said, we're done. Seriously, folks, that's what it was. Moses couldn't speak. David, he wasn't a soldier. Can you? God's saying, his own dad. Here's this son. Samuel says, do you have any other sons? Wow. He had to stop and think about it. What's he doing? He's looking at Eliab. Yeah, I'm a big bad dude. You know, we got to have a king. Not David. What? David? God's not impressed with what you have. Do you understand? Old Gideon, where was he? You know, the mighty man of valor. When the angel said, oh, thou mighty man of valor, you know Gideon turned, he said, who? Is somebody else here? Why? Because he was hiding. He's afraid the Midianites were coming. Who are you going to go whoop, Gideon? God says we're going to go whoop the Midianites. Well, who's going to lead? Well, God told me I am. God's not impressed with what we have. Little boy, whole crowd of folks gathered to hear Jesus preach, and one little boy thought through it a little bit, or his mom did anyway, and he had his little lunch pail, and he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Gabriel said, Father, how are you going to feed all those people? Is there Long John Silver's nearby? You'll notice I didn't use the M word. Is there Arby's nearby? You know? How are you going to feed them? Surely somebody has opened a chain of restaurants somewhere that has millions and millions of dollars, and that's what you're going to use. And Jesus said, I don't have to have millions and millions of dollars. I just have to have a little boy that brought his lunch. Treasury needed money. I love that. And all the rich people came in, they gave their offerings, and Jesus wasn't impressed at all. And then here came a little widow lady. And again, I just try to imagine the angels, what all they talk about, and said, well, if he wasn't impressed with all the rich people, he sure ain't going to be impressed with the widow lady. And she came in, she put her mite in. And they all probably snickered a little bit, you know? Jesus said she gave more than anyone because she gave it all. He said, her name, she'll be remembered. I don't know about all those rich people. We don't ever talk about them, but who do we talk about all? We talk about the widow who gave her mite. We get to heaven, she'll probably have a big sign somewhere around her that says, widow who gave mite. And we'll all say, wow, that's something. But I got news for you. God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need my money. God doesn't need what we have. God wants us. And so I said, number one, what they had everything. Number two, what they lost it all. Number three, what they didn't have God. They didn't have control. They didn't have peace. They didn't have joy. They didn't have a future. Number four, what we need. Here's what we need, really. We need His will. Just to do His will. What's the Bible say? Seek ye first. When? First. The kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then what? All these things shall be added unto you. Here's what we do. We say, God, here's what I have. Here's all the things I have. Here, God, I want you to know this is all that I have. Surely now, because I have all this, you can... That isn't what God said. God said, do this first. Oh, God, what is your will? What is your will? You know, I mean, honestly, let's be real, real candid here. We're scared to death to say, God, out of this, what do you want me to give? What is your will? What we want to do is say, God, here's what I have. Here's what I have. I want you to know I've got a lot. God says, what will you do? Well, God, it's yours. I really have nothing. It's yours. I don't know about you. I've had some times God told me to empty this thing. I remember when He told me, and I hoped there was just a few dollars in there. Isn't that silly? Seriously, if it's going to end up empty in the first place, listen, stay with me here. If it's going to be empty by the time I'm done, what does it matter if it had just $2 in it or if it had $20 in it? It's because that $20 is mine. It's mine. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What's that mean? That means food and raiment, and if you need a chunk of gold, He's got that. If you need a cow, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And what a way to live. A couple verses and I'm done. Matthew 6. By the way, that was Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then Matthew 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I think, and please don't get me wrong, I don't mind leaving David money when I die. I don't mind that. The Bible talks about doing that. There's nothing wrong with that. I hate to think that I'm going to leave a whole lot to the IRS when I could have bought a bus. I could have invested in God's work. You say, yeah, but preacher, how do we know? Here's how we know. We get on our knees and we say, God, it's all yours. Amen. Everything's yours. My whole life is yours. I'm not telling you to give everything yet. I'm just telling you to give your heart to Jesus. Because that's what the Syrians didn't have. There's nothing wrong with having a bag of gold. Nothing wrong with having another bag of silver. Nothing wrong with having the horses and the donkeys and all those things. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But to have all that and not have the will of God for your life, it's a waste. An absolute waste. We have people, Christians all over the world that work and work and work, and they're working extra so they can have, so they can have, so they can have, and they get out of church and they get away from the will of God and all that they have, and they find out at the end they really had nothing. What a waste. 1 Timothy 6:17. 1 Timothy 6:17. You say, well, he's preaching that trying to get our money. I don't want your money. I want you to give your heart to Jesus. He wants our hearts. 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. He doesn't provide so that we can hoard things. He provides to meet our needs and to do His will. Are you doing the will of God tonight? Because the difference between you and the Syrians, you know, is just that right there. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Nothing wrong with having, but when you have things, stuff, but you don't have Him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in your life, you're going to miss out, just like the Syrians missed out. Let's bow our heads, please. We simply need to do His will. That's every person in this room. It's with our finances. It's with our lives. It's with everything we do. We just need to do His will. When you recognize that they cast everything along the path because of a noise that did not exist, just to do the will of God would have changed all that.